The new palace stands at the western end of Sanssouci Park, a vast red brick front more than 200 meters long, crowned with a dome and a crowd of sandstone figures. Picture a king who has just survived a war that ought to have ruined him, and who responds not by tightening his belt, but by building the most extravagant palace in Prussia. That is the new palace, and that contradiction is the key to everything you are about to see. The king was Frederick the Great, and the war was the Seven Years' War, which ended in 1763 and left Prussia battered, drained, and very much alive. Most monarchs would have rebuilt quietly. Frederick did the opposite. Between 1763 and 1769, he razed this colossal palace and called it, with magnificent honesty, a fanfaronade, a piece of swagger, a boast in brick and sandstone. It was a message to the courts of Europe. Do not imagine for one moment that Prussia is finished. So as you approach across the park and the building keeps growing in front of you, remember you are looking at a deliberate act of theater. The scale is the point. And here is the lovely twist. Frederick never actually lived here. His real home was Sanssouci, the small vineyard retreat at the far end of the park, intimate, personal, scaled to one rather private man. The new palace was never meant to be cozy. It was a stage, a place to receive visiting royalty, to throw balls, to stage state occasions and impress everyone within them. More than 200 rooms, and almost all of them designed to make a guest's jaw drop. Keep that in mind indoors. You are walking through someone's grand performance, and you are the honored guest it was built for. The first showstopper is the Grotto Hall, and nothing quite prepares you for it. The walls and pillars are encrusted, genuinely encrusted, with thousands of shells, with fossils, minerals, quartz crystals, and semi-precious stones, all worked into swirling patterns above a marble floor laid out in marine motifs. It is an entire room pretending to be an undersea cave, built indoors and made permanent. Most visitors step in, gasp, and step straight out again, which is a small tragedy, because the magic is in the detail. Give it longer than feels natural. Look at the seams where shell meets crystal, at the little fossils tucked into the design, and you will start to see the sheer obsessive labor of it. From there, the route opens into the marble gallery, a long hall faced in deep red jasper and white Carrara marble, lined with tall mirrors that throw the light back and forth until the stone itself seems to glow. Walk it slowly and watch the colors shift as you pass the windows. Then comes the climax the whole palace was built to lead you toward. The marble hall, a two-story ballroom rising through the heart of the building beneath a single painted ceiling of some 240 square meters. The instruction here is simple. Stand in the center and look straight up. There is one more delight that many people miss entirely. Tucked into the palace is a small Rococo court theater, opened in 1768 and, remarkably, still in use for performances today. A jewel box of a space after all that grandeur. And when you step outside, turn and look behind the palace at the Commons. Two monumental service buildings linked by a sweeping curved colonnade, built to hide the kitchens and the staff from royal eyes, and to round off the whole composition with one final flourish. Even the servants' quarters were a piece of showmanship. A quiet word on your ticket, because it is more generous than it looks. The pass that brings you into the new palace is, for a single day, the key to nearly the whole royal estate. Frederick's own Sanssouci, above its vineyard terraces, the picture gallery, the new chambers, the gilded Chinese house, and more, scattered across the park and gardens that link them. The new palace is the star, but you hold the key to the whole landscape. So if you have the legs and the hours, walk the long avenue east afterwards. It is one of the loveliest miles in Germany. Frederick built this place to tell Europe that Prussia was far from broken. 2.5 centuries on, it is still making the case, and now it is making it to you.